You're listening to Wheelationships.
For the last couple weeks, we've been looking at values, and in the overall scheme of establishing good fences, of figuring out when is the right time to say yes and when is the right time to say no, and who to say yes to and who to say no to, values are like the real property markers. If you've ever built a fence, then you know you can't just go out there and put the fence where it looks right to you. Well, you can, but you may get in trouble. You can't even go off of, you know, what has been traditional. You have to go on markers that are outside of you. So you call the right people and you look at the right markers that are outside of your property. And that's what these values are. It's looking at things that are outside of you. Last week, Trudy talked about that first value, which is loving God. And if that's the highest value in my relationship, then it informs every choice I make. And if you keep loving God as the highest value, then that will inform all the choices. It will determine when you say yes and when you say no, who you say yes to and who you say no to. Okay, so we're good on that? All right, this morning we're video heavy, which means basically I'm going to just guide you through some of these videos. These are all Dr. Henry Cloud, who, along with Dr. Townsend, they did all the boundaries books. And this is the guy we've been seeing clips of in weeks past. All these videos, we put a link to them, or we embed them on our website online, we.faithnfm.com. And so what I'm going to do this morning, you've got notes. A lot of these are, if you listen real carefully, you'll be able to fill in most of your notes before I start talking. So we'll guide you through this. And so the first value we want to talk about is value number two, the love of the other. So let's review real quick. And this is what we're going to do today, is I'm going to show you a clip. We'll review it, make sure you got your blanks filled out, and give you an opportunity to comment if something struck you in particular as we went through, because a couple things did me. Love is desiring the other and wanting the best for the other. That's how he said it. Desiring the other and wanting the best for the other. And he contrasted that. By the way, let me do this right now. This is for hot chocolate.
Love.
Ding. Ding. He contrasted godly desire with worldly desire, what we might call natural desire. You know, it was interesting the thing he said about devouring each other. That's not love. This is... I have no interest in this movie. Don't want to see this movie. It's a long story as how I got to this review. But Roger Ebert's opening paragraph this weekend, he reviewed this Sex and the City 2 coming out. This is his opening paragraph. Some of these people make my skin crawl. The characters of Sex and the City 2 are flyweight bubbleheads living in a world which rarely requires three sentences in a row. Their defining quality is consuming things. They gobble food, fashion, houses, husbands, children, vitamins, and freebies. That's worldly. No, you can't go now and see it. That's worldly, natural, the way love is viewed. You consume. Galatians 5. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. You know that. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out, beware of destroying one another. If you never understood that verse, I think maybe that helps clear it up. Biting and devouring each other, it's when you want to take, 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 and you think the relationship is all about what I get, what I get, what I get. Okay? and I give only to get. I'm going to give a little so I can get. Give so I can get. Okay. That's a consumer mindset. First Peter, stay alert. Watch for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to, what? Devour. Okay, that's actually the defining characteristic of the opposite of love. If you want to call it hate or whatever, it's completely opposite to what God characterized love as. If anything, this should warn us a little bit about a consumer kind of mindset, consumer mentality that we often take into relationships. Now, just especially if they're not marriage relationships, a lot of times we can come into a relationship with a consumer kind of mindset. If I get out of this relationship what I really want out of this relationship, then it's a good relationship. If I don't, then it's a bad relationship. And actually, that's not really how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be people of love who love your neighbor as yourself, which means we're in the relationship to see how much we can give in that relationship. God says real love, greatest love, is laying down your life for another. Laying down my life, as he said it, was giving up what I need or want in the service of what you need or want. And he further explains we have this choice. We have a choice between love relationship and a legal relationship. A love relationship and a legal relationship. If you missed that last blank, you can form a relationship with somebody else and get the answer. He pointed out that in love relationships, it's very difficult to find out who's winning. But if you don't have the value of loving the other person, following the rules of a legal relationship will be the best thing that you can do. You can't do any better than that. If you're not going to really love with the value of laying down your life for the other person, then what a lot of relationships end up in is that legal relationship where I did this, so you do that. And you do that, and I'll do this. We'll form a contract. Let me add that two very important elements to what Dr. Cloud mentioned was that in order for love to be applied, there must be commitment and action. Love becomes value with commitment and action. Until there is commitment, until there's action involved in that, then love is simply a good idea. Okay, I've got a good idea. Why don't we lay down our life for each other? Well, that's a good idea until we commit to it, until we take action and actually do it. I love you, I love you, I love you. Commit to it and take action on it, and then we'll see that it really is. That's why the idea of two people that love each other to the level of being physically intimate, and they don't want to make a commitment till death do you part, is stupid. It's ridiculous. Okay, you're back to devouring each other and getting what you want out of that. But if you're not able to make commitment and action to it, then it's not really a value you have. It's quiet in here. There is no real security or no real freedom in a relationship and no real basis for further effort unless there's first a commitment. I'm going to be here. I'm not going anywhere. I mean, that should be in every marriage relationship. You should have that clear right up front that I'm here till death do us part, period. The prenuptial agreement is I'm not going anywhere, period, no matter what. Okay, I made that clear with Trudy first thing. Said, okay, look, she was from a broken home. She had experienced all that. I said, look, this is it. You're stuck. Not going anywhere. Okay, divorce is never, you know, we never, ever, would ever get into an argument that says, well, I'm leaving if you don't. No. Leaving is not an option. Okay? Murder, maybe. death, you know. You know. Security comes when there's a real commitment. So it's nice to have the idea that I would lay down my life, but it doesn't really matter to the other person unless they do it. Okay? It's nice for her to think that I would lay down my life for her, but it's not really, it doesn't mean anything until I actually, you know, take time out of my schedule to go give her hot chocolate. Okay? Then it becomes something. All right? That's weak, but okay. This is why sometimes over time it can feel like in a relationship that we, for a lot of relationships you hear, and I've heard couples talk to me, you know, where it doesn't feel like we love each other anymore. Why? Because they've stopped doing for each other. They've stopped laying down their life for each other. It's stepped over into a legal relationship where, you know, we have this agreement and we stop doing, okay? Even if you do a lot, you say, well, I do things for her all the time. I do this and that. Well, we forget what it is to specifically do for the other. We have to remember that and do that, okay? Any comments, questions, things that struck you as you went through that? Okay. All right. Number three, value is honesty. Honesty. Honesty versus managing the other person. When we manage the other person, he said, so that we can avoid the pain or what we don't want from them. So we can avoid the guilt, we can avoid the anger, we can avoid the disappointment. Yes?
I think managing is too nice a word. That person's trying to control the other person.
Yes, we are.
We all do that.
Yes.
You walk up to somebody and maybe they look really exhausted, and you won't say, you know, wow, you look really tired, or you know, wow, you know. Well, oh, no, you look fine. You look fine.
Well, and there's a difference between being honest and being blunt. Okay? You know, sometimes you need to use a feather rather than a hammer. Okay? On how you apply the truth, okay? The thing is, the value of honesty means to give the correct takeaway. And that's where we fall short, to use the feather. Okay? Managing is using that easier term, and controlling is probably the harder term. Both are true. We're trying to manage. We're not just managing the other person. We're managing their response, so that, you know, we don't want the disappointed look, and we don't want that negative thing to come back at us. When we're dishonest, we're trying to manage others so that they have a different perception of the truth. It makes them think we agree when we don't. It makes them think that we are, you know, what? Just to give a different perception, you know. Oh, they thought it was great. Hell no, not really. But we're afraid to go there. So they get a different perception of our feelings, our desires, hurts, needs, and all of that. Of course, fear is the biggest roadblock we have. People will go for years, trying to save a relationship. They think they're trying to save the relationship, so they try to manage the other person's perceptions, you know. And they don't ever want to, you know, this person, older, younger, whatever, to feel a certain way, feel bad. They don't want to feel bad. So they try to save the relationship by being dishonest. When they're really destroying the opportunity, we destroy the opportunity to have real relationship and real connection because we're keeping all that stuff in between. Now, I should mention here, be honest with us in this class. If there's things that we could do better for you, to make this better for you and more interest, be honest. With a feather. With a feather. Okay? No. Okay? Any other comments, questions? Value number four? Yes. Exactly. We don't want that stuff coming at us. Okay. Anything else? Because actually, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to go to that fourth one because we've got a few more. You can. Where are you on your handout? You're right at the bottom. Okay. You can use that one next week. Okay. Anything else? Well, let's pray before we go. Father, we thank you for your love for us, that you value us. You gave up everything that you had for us. You come to us honestly. You come to us with all that we need. And so, Lord, in our relationships this week, we know we'll be tested on this. And help us to reflect who you are in our lives. We thank you in your name. Amen.